and Gio.
BT and Sal.
Kevin and Tiki.
Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan.
On The Fan.
On The Fan.
On The Fan.
It's WFAN Daily, hosted by Pete Hoffman.
Welcome to another episode of WFAN Daily with yours truly, Pete Hoffman. And I guess it's better than another meltdown as the New York Mets didn't lose. They won, but another Met does go down. And unfortunately, Griffin Canning took a nasty injury after going 2 1/3 innings. And in the third inning, he goes down on a non-contact injury. Listen, this is not the NFL. This is not the NBA. But he goes down on a non-contact injury, and it looks bad. And everybody can see. We could already, eyes are out there. We just saw a bunch of injuries. This NBA Finals, this NBA playoffs, that looked very reminiscent. And unfortunately, camera angles are really good these days, and the close-ups are really good these days. And we can all speculate what the injury is. Do we know yet? No. How bad it's going to be? No. It's unfortunate because it's unfortunate because Griffin Canning was, no matter what we want to say, no matter how bad his last couple starts have been, he's been pitching lights out for Griffin Canning. I mean, close to 5 ERA has been around, a little bit, between a 2 and a 3 ERA all season long. He's been fantastic. You hate to see injuries like that happen to guys that have been, rebounding and found a career year. You want to sit there and talk about cost effective? He was it. He was the guy. A 1 year, $4.5 million contract, if I'm correct, if that's what it was. I believe either I'm confusing that with Paul Blackburn, but I think Griffin Canning signed something very similar to that as well. Point being is it doesn't even make a difference about the money. He was effective. He was effective. And now all of a sudden, the Mets are in a spot where they've finally won back-to-back games. And yes, his contract was 1 year, $4.25 mil. But that doesn't make that. That's beside the point. It doesn't make a difference about the money. It's about what are the Mets going to do, because they're finally getting out of that funk. They're winning ball games. They're about to go to Pittsburgh. They're not going to face Paul Skeens. But last time they faced Pittsburgh, they also couldn't hit their pitching, so that wasn't great either. So they're finding themselves again a little bit. The bullpen has been much better the past 2 days. Diaz lights out, thank goodness. Again, the Mets pitching went 16 straight outs. The bullpen went 16 straight outs without giving up a hit. I mean, that's how effective they were on Thursday night. That's great. But the bullpen is going to be completely taxed now, because first of all, you have starting pitchers like Clay Holmes who can't go more than 5 innings. Whether it's because he's hitting the max pitch count of like 116 or whatever it is, or he just can't get through it. He doesn't feel right. And they're capping his pitches at 85. He's just not getting deep. That's a problem. Then you have, David Peterson has been the one guy who's getting you deeper into games. He did have that one hiccup, but besides that, he's gone 7+, 8+ innings. But that's it. He is the only guy giving you any sort of length. Kodai Senga is not back yet. I mean, he's gonna be out for a while. Sean Manaea, still not back yet. Frankie Montas gave you 5 innings. But let's be honest with you, with us, with all of us. That was unexpected. Is that more likely Frankie Montas? Is he gonna get you the 5 innings? Or is he gonna get you more like 3 2/3, which Paul Blackburn gives you? I mean, this pitching staff is getting bombarded with injuries now. Again, Montas and Manaea are just coming back. But Canning now, who knows how long. I'm assuming it's going to be, unfortunately, probably a season-ending injury. If it's all what we think it is, which a lot of people think it's Achilles. Again, nobody knows yet. It's an ankle injury, according to the Mets. But if it is as serious as we think it's going to be, because we all saw the video, we all saw basically his back leg pop in his calf. What does that mean? We'll find out sooner than later, trust me. But between Canning and Senga being down, And McGill going down too, that's just the innings eater. We're not saying he's even productive. Where are you going to turn to now? Who is next in line? You're going to go back to Blake Tidwell? Are we going to go to another young starter that's a prospect that's coming up? I mean, where are the Mets going to go? And this bullpen is getting so taxed. They're on basically a revolving door. Who's in? Who's out? Dennon Nunes pitched great, phenomenal. But again, he's going to be pitching probably like, you know, seven of the next 10 games, because that's what the Mets need to do to win games, because they're starting pitching, which was always an issue going into the season, which was always a question mark going into the season. And I question it more of, not that they're going to be, the starting pitchers can't be effective. Yes, they can have an extremely low ERA, one of the best ERAs in baseball. If they go 4 to 5 innings each game, that's not good enough. Those are considered, and I said this before, they are considered openers. Those are not starting pitchers. And I understand that right now the average starting pitcher goes 5 innings. But, I mean, that's max what they've been doing lately, is going 5 innings. It's less than that. It's not going to be effective. You're not going to be able to last long being a 4-inning, 4 2/3 innings starting pitcher. The bullpen is going to get taxed way, way too much. And they don't have as many amazing arms as we'd like to think. It's Edwin Diaz and then a lot of other guys. Ryan Stanek pitched well on Thursday night, but how often has he done that? Not often lately. Again, Dennon Nunes pitched great, but that's been like the one great outing by Dennon Nunes. We can go up and down the bullpen and still circle a lot of question marks there. You know, Brooks Raley, I know he's making trying to make a return from his injury. Is he going to be effective? I mean, there's just so many question marks. And again, we're halfway through the season. I understand, hey, we could trade for more pitching come deadline. It's a month away. And even then, if our starting pitchers go into August and September only going the length that they're giving us, you're going to need to trade for about 17 to 20 different relief pitchers and have them go to the minor leagues and then just start the process again. And they're all going to need options, and they're all going to need a ton of rest. It's going to be a hair-pulling next 3 months of the season. From July, August, September, it's going to be holy crap. Who's this guy? What's his name? You're going to see a lot of 91s, 92s, 93s popping up and throwing a baseball for the New York Mets. And it's not going to end. It's not going to be just the bullpen either. It's going to be the starting pitcher. It's going to be everything. And now it's time for the offense to pick up. Now it's time for everybody in the offense to pick up their end of the deal. It's not just Juan Soto, who's been outright on fire. Pete Alonso, great RBI single, adds to his RBI total. That was a big hit by him. Jeff McNeil's drove in 2 more runs as well. He's going to have to pick up his pace as well. Because let's put it this way, between Brandon Nimmo, between Jeff McNeil, between Starling Marte, when Jesse Winker comes back, whoever's playing third base, those guys have to all start to produce, because you can't just rely on Francisco Lindor, Juan Soto, and Pete Alonso. It's just not going to work out, okay? And not all have been clicking at the right time, which is, okay, they're stutter-stepping. I can't wait for everyone to click at the right time. I can't wait for everyone to click at the same time. I can't wait for Lindor, Soto, and Alonso to all start hitting at the same time. That'll be amazing. But until then, other guys have to freaking step up. There's just no way around it. Because the bullpen is going to be completely exhausted. There's no more mental mistakes on the field. There's no more dumb running errors. There's no more dumb defensive errors. It's got to be tight for the next couple months, at least until you add a star pitcher. It's not even the star doesn't even make a difference. Ace pitcher. They need to be a lights-out, reliable pitcher. There's no more of this, I can go and get a guy who's going to be innings eater for like 4 or 5 innings, and we'll get to the bullpen. You need someone that you can sit there and say comfortably, he's going to give us 6 to 7 innings per game. I hate to compare it, But Max Fried, you know, he is an ace. And I understand there's not many of those guys on the market. And how much money do you really want to give those guys? And what are you going to move for those guys? But that's the type of player that would be amazing right now for the New York Mets, because that's one more piece that you don't have to worry about on the mound. Obviously, injuries happen. No one planned for Griffin Canning, and Carlos Mendoza, I guess, basically said on Griffin Canning, it looks like an Achilles injury. And if it's what we all know and what we all feel, what we've seen in the NBA playoffs, you know, the season's over for Griffin Canning, and that sucks. But that being said, you can't go and get another small piece that's going to just be able to get you a couple starts. You need somebody, and it's almost impossible to sit there and say, we're going to bring somebody in. Of course, injuries may happen. You just never know. But at least take the risk. If this New York Mets team is as good and as competitive as everyone's been saying, and that they believe, whether it's David Stearns, whether it's Steve Cohen, go out and get a top-end starting pitcher to add depth to this team. That is the only move you need to make right now. There should be no other thought. You want to talk about another bat? Okay, I'm fine with the bat as well. The starting pitching legitimately needs help. Even when Sean Manaea comes back, we don't know how he's going to perform. We don't know how he's going to do. We know last year was great. Can he do it again? Is he going to have a duplicate year coming off of an injury for so long? It's another question mark. And Frankie Montas, again, 5 innings from Frankie Montas. That was beautiful. I don't trust that the pitching lab has cured him for good. I think that, you know, a guy that has had struggles all his entire career is eventually going to fall on his face. And that's not to say that he may have a couple good outings in him. And maybe he is only a 4 or 5 innings pitcher. And if he can go that gives you that much a length, that's great. But that's the problem we just fell into is you, again, it's on repeat now. You tax your bullpen too much if your guys can only go 4 or 5 innings. So you need to go out and get a star-studded starting pitcher to add to this rotation and solidify some serious help here. If Peterson can give you legitimately, David Peterson is now pitching in the 7th inning every game, and you could bring in somebody else to get you deep into every game, 6, 7 innings, that is, you can take a deep breath and say, oh my goodness, we could save our bullpen for a couple days because it's getting tiring. You're never going to win as much as you are or have won as much as you are. So in the past, you're not going to keep on doing that all season long. It's going to fall apart. You don't have enough arms. It's impossible. It's impossible to have enough arms that are used over and over and over. They're all going to get exhausted. So again, I'm on repeat mode right now because it's just so frustrating. It's so freaking obvious. And I know David Stearns doesn't look at certain pieces as positives. Like for him, it feels like if you're over 30 years old, I don't want a long contract with you. But the same way that you went and signed Juan Soto for 15 years, you gave him $750 million. If there's a pitcher who happens to be over the age of 30, but can give you and is signed for multiple years, and all it takes is money to bring him to town and give you a little bit of a extra push, especially this year. Next year's next year. I'm not worried about next year. Worried about right now. If this team is supposed to be as good as they are, you need to bring in help. It's annoying because they can be that good. But the way that you utilize your players, the way that you use your players, it's not going to be effective. Even if it's effective for 162, it's not effective in the playoffs. And that is ultimately the main goal. You can make a wild card. You could be a division winner. You could be the best team in the Eastern Division. In the Eastern Division, geez. In the National League. And it doesn't make a difference because getting into the playoffs and not having a full force of elite pitchers. Because right now the Mets don't have elite pitchers. They have good pitchers. You have David Peterson, who on really good days looks elite, and Edwin Diaz. Those are your two elite pitchers. Kodai Senga is out. We don't know when he's going to come back. Is Sean Manaea elite? He was elite last year, but got very tired getting into the playoffs. Maybe this will be good. Maybe the fact that he's missed so much time, missed basically half the season, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe this is actually a great thing, that he can pitch deep into the playoffs and be effective. But I still wouldn't label him as elite. He happens to be the ace of the staff because he's the best pitcher on the rotation. That's not saying much. Sandy Alcantara is the guy that I'd look into, and I know that he is there's rumors now that maybe the Marlins will hold on to him. Blow him away. Blow him away. I know everyone wants Paul Skenes. Paul Skenes is not getting traded this year, and he's probably not getting traded next year, and you could offer every single prospect in the world for Paul Skenes. I think Pittsburgh would be, and we all know how dumb Pittsburgh is, but the Pirates would be extremely dumb of an organization to trade Paul Skenes in the next year or two. Obviously, yes, thought process is, hey, trade for him now, give up Paul Skenes now and get his max out whatever, however much he's worth right now, you'll max out on a return. But you're basically telling your fans to go F yourself. They don't care about your fans. That's basically what they're saying, is we have one hot commodity in Paul Skenes, and we're not going to win, so we'll give away our best piece with other young prospects that may never pan out to be anything. The Pirates are not doing that. They need to get as much run out of Paul Skenes as they possibly can until they have to trade him. There are other guys that will be available. You know, if Arizona starts to tank, Corbin Burns is hurt, out for season, Tommy John, right? Corbin Carroll, he's got that bone chip in his wrist. Is he going to be out for a while? Is he going to be out the rest of the season? If so, maybe you can steal a starter from the Diamondbacks. Maybe Zach Gallen, who was a former Cy Young contender at one point in time, maybe he's somebody you could bring in. Again, he's a guy that can go deeper into games. I don't remember what his contract is at the moment, but I don't think he's signed. I think he's a free agent in the next year or two. So that's what you have to look for. You have to look for those guys that are looking to either, you know, be cheap because they only have a year or maybe half a year left of until they're hitting free agency. So they're not going to cost as much because you don't have control. But you have to bring in somebody like that. The Rockies, unfortunately, are out of it, and they have no starting pitching whatsoever. Thank goodness whoever's been running the team in the past 30 years is finally hanging it up. I can't believe that the Colorado Rockies have somewhere in their system for 30 years, who's been at the top end of their, whether it's GM or president or whatever they've been, they had someone running the team for close to 30 years and allowed this man to run that organization into the dirt, into the ground. That's embarrassing. 30 years. But again, not all teams are that of Steve Cohen and the Mets or, Steinbrenner and the Yankees. There's teams that want to win. And there's teams that just want to make a profit. And I don't know how the Rockies would make a profit, but I guess they were. Because they still let this guy be around. Anyway, Vent session is done. The Mets won. That's the good thing. Bad thing is Griffin Cannon goes down, and we all know it's going to be bad news. And, you know, you just prayers up to Griffin Cannon, and hopefully it's a easier recovery, and it's not as bad as we somehow imagine it to be. I am going to go do a Rico Bronya in a few minutes. So if you've enjoyed this, there's going to be a Rico Bronya very soon with Evan Roberts once he gets home. If you're listening to this right now on Friday, you can go and listen to Rico Bronya. That it's already out now. And enjoy that vent session too. Even though it was good, the Mets ended up splitting a series after losing as many games in a row. And losing 10 out of 11, they split the series with the Braves, which, by the way, everyone's like, oh, the Braves suck. They suck, but they beat the Mets 5 out of 7 games. Just remember that. The Braves may suck, but they beat the Mets 5 out of 7 games. So either they just love pissing on the Mets, or they're not as bad as we thought they were. And to be honest, I think it's the latter. They never were as bad as we thought they were. They had a very rough first half of the season. However, they're making strides, and they're the Mets of last year, which is scary because that means they're a playoff team, and who knows how far they could be. Anyway, that being said, tune in tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. with BT and Sal. I'll be there. You can listen to Boomer and Geo. They'll be hitting us up all day as well. Evan and Tiki, Keith McPherson, Chris McMonagle, all that and more. All on the Odyssey app. If you miss anything at all, just download the Odyssey app and you'll get everything you want and more. Or subscribe, like the WFA Daily with myself, Pete Hoffman, and you'll get updates almost every day. 5 days, at least 5 days a week. Weekends, maybe I'll take off. I don't know. We'll find out. Maybe I'll just give you more every day. Who knows? At Hoff WFAN, you can always follow me there. I appreciate you checking out another episode of WFAN Daily. And don't forget, Saturday mornings, 2 to 5 a.m. on WFAN. I will be there for 3 hours live every Saturday morning to talk about everything New York sports. Till then, I will see you guys on the flip side. I think I said that right. Right? See you on the flip side. Or Rico Bronya. Either way, at Hoff WFAN. Thanks again for listening to another episode of WFAN Daily. See ya.